Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1. We are going to round up our teaching today. We have been looking for some weeks now on remember the Sabbath, right? Remember the Sabbath. Exodus 20, what Moses told the children of Israel. And we are looking at that and seeing how God is instructing us in this age and time. Amen. And I believe this is going to help your Christian walk, if you would listen. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And I've told you before, that means he's writing to you and he's expecting that everyone who is reading his book has paid attention to David and they have paid attention to Abraham. Of course, David and Abraham will just be symbolism of books. David will be Psalms, Abraham will be the Genesis or Moses. And you observe that that has a similar flavor to what Jesus said upon the resurrection in Luke 24. In Luke 24 verse 44, where it says, "These are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms." So that is David, that is Abraham. That makes sense? Again, the intention, don't lose this. The intention is that you pay attention to the prophets. Oftentimes, in this day and time, people just want to evade the prophet. Now, what are they saying? What did Moses write? You don't have anything to learn from it. Now we are in the new. And I hear people say that a lot, especially people of my generation, you know, they just discard what we call the Old Testament and, you know, just start from Matthew. Let's start from Matthew and Revelation. No. Again, those books are there for a reason. And they are there for our growth. They are there for our help. They are there for instructions. Is it making sense? So Matthew starts his own writing by saying, this book is the book of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So whatever you're going to see about Jesus Christ, you will see it in David, or said by David, and you will see it said by Abraham, or better put, said by Moses in Genesis. And Let's just go back to what we have said before. We said that means that Matthew is going to give us a what? A new perspective. You know, that's what we said? Because we look at Genesis 5:1. We said Matthew 1:1 is Genesis 5:1. Matthew 1:1, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Genesis 5:1, the book of the generations of Adam. And so we said what Matthew is doing is indirectly is giving us a new Genesis. Adam has done his own. This is what he said about God. This is what he lived like. But this is the book of Jesus. Is it making sense? So it gives us a new Genesis. A new perspective to things. And we say one of such perspectives is what we're looking at. It gives us a new perspective to the Sabbath. To the Sabbath. You know, growing up, what a lot of people think is the Sabbath is a day. And I think we have looked at that last week. Is the Sabbath a day? Alright. So, you know, and people started arguing. In fact, it became like modern stream. What is a modern stream? It became a stream of argument, theology, that is the Sabbath Sunday or Saturday or Friday? And a lot of people are bringing out theories that when the day God rested was a Saturday. I don't understand how you find any Saturday, because Saturdays and Fridays and Mondays were inventions of man later on. How I wish they did not name them. Amen. You know, that would be like a good, you know, at the time I was in school, we are meant to have tests on Monday. So I said, if all of us agree that today is not Monday, would today be Monday? You know, in the world, if everybody in the world agrees that we are now in 1984, and everybody choose to agree, you know we are in 1984. You've not thought about it before. Everybody just say, this is not 2023. We are in 1984. And they begin to put it on CNN, put it on everywhere. That students in school should write 1984. You know that we'll be in 1984 by now. Why can't we do it? So dates and times are inventions of man. And so the moment you start looking at the Sabbath, remove Friday, remove Saturday, remove Sunday from your head. Is it clear? So we need to look at the new perspective Jesus gives it. And we see that in Mark chapter 2. Of course, we see the Matthew 12, but Mark 2, which you said gives us a bit more information. Mark 2. Aisha? So don't forget, whatever we are looking at is a new perspective, a new Genesis, a new Exodus, a new Leviticus. Mark 2, verse 23. It came to pass, he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and the disciples began, as they went to pluck the ears of the corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, why do your disciples do what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was in need and he was hungry? And those that were with him, how they went to the house of God when Abithai was the high priest, and ate the bread, which was not lawful to eat but for the priest alone, and gave it to those that were with him. Can we read verse 27 and 28 together? The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And I have taught you over time, right? That when you hear words like that, your first duty will be to go to where that word was used. And that was the way I learned the scriptures. So when I hear the Sabbath was made for man, I want to go back to where it was made. Because that's the only way I can understand it. A lot of people read the epistles in isolation. It doesn't work like that. You understand the thing. So when you hear the Sabbath was made for man, you have to go to where it was made. So we began to look at the root word of that word, Sabbath. And we said in the Hebrew tongue is Shabbat. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. And we said the first mention you will see is in Genesis chapter 2. So you see that it is actually the book of Jesus, the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, you will see that word Sabbath. Of course, it means rest. Verse 1. The heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. Again, Moses will use a seventh day here because now man has days. And don't forget, he wrote Genesis after Israel already left Egypt. So it's not like there was a Genesis and then they took it to Egypt. No. He already left Egypt. He already have days and time. He's already instructing them. He's already preaching to them and they were not believing. And that is the reason for Genesis. And that's why oftentimes I always tell you that the reason for the Exodus is Genesis. And the reason for Genesis is because of the Exodus. I don't get what I just said now. The reason why he wrote Genesis is because there was a nation to be written to. It's because there was a people that God wanted to save. So the reason for Genesis is because there was an Exodus from Egypt. And the reason for, of course, Exodus is Genesis. Because it's in the Genesis you find the promise of the Exodus. In Genesis, you find the promise of redemption, the promise of safety. Okay, so we began to look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 2 now. And on the seventh day, God ended the work which he had made, and he rested, which is the word Sabbath, on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh and sanctified it, because in that day he rested from all the work which God created and made. And we began to ask ourselves, because the meaning of the word Sabbath, or rest there, it means to not work. Now, in modern day diction, if I say, I rest now, you know what I'll be saying is, you have done enough work, right? You have done enough work, so what you should do now is what? Rest. You know? But in the Hebrew tongue, it's not like that. If I say rest, it means don't work. I gave you an example last week, right? You have to remember the example. I think I was about 9, 8. And everybody has this big uncle in their family. If you don't have, I don't know what kind of family you have. Just kidding. And so he's all this Tokumbo. America will come. And he asked my older cousins to wash his car. He asked all of us to wash his car. So I did not wash anything. I was just playing around the car. I can still remember this one very well. But as a beloved son in the family, everybody likes me. So after they were all done struggling to wash the car, they were even fighting, and I mean to wash tire. I was just like, wow, it's interesting. So when we were all done, he gave us money. He said, all of you share. So they were like, why did you not do the work? He didn't do anything. We even asked him to go and prospect water. He did not fetch water. The man said, Adaya. Can't see that he's a small boy.
That's me.
You can't see that he's a small boy. Give him money. I give him his own now. And that was how I rested. Rest means don't work, but you enjoy the benefits of working. So it's not the way you have it in English. And that's why when a lot of people complain about the use of Greek words, use of Hebrew words, I always just give a bit of grain, because if you understand what those words have done for us, you appreciate them. The moment you say sabbat, sabbat means you are going to enjoy the benefit of work without working. And in this instance, it is not God that is doing that, because God already worked. The moment you work, you are not going to have a sabbat. Sabbat means don't work. And that's why Moses will tell them that on that seventh day, you are going to eat, but you are not going to work. But eating should be the fruit of work. As Moses has told them, the man who did not work should not eat. That's where Paul got it from Moses. So, the man who will not work will not eat, but on the Sabbath, you will eat without working. So, the essence of the Sabbath is to have the fruit of work without working. How many of you get it now? Alright, good. So we now began to ask ourselves, who is going to rest in Genesis? Will it be God or Adam, who God has already made everything for, is only just to live in them? It will be Adam. How many of you get what I'm saying now? So we understand the words of Jesus better now when he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not for God. The rest is God's rest, but it is provided for man. The rest, better put, is God's work, where man should step in and benefit of it. Hallelujah. So, we said, that's what God came to give man. The rest is from the beginning. So we began to look at Hebrews 4. Yeah, I'm just trying to close in on the things we've taught. Hebrews 4. You learning something? We said verse 3, for we who have believed, we have entered into his rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So we said, how does a man enter into rest, into God's rest? By believing in God. I'll say it again. How does a man enter into God's rest? By trying to do something? By trying to labor? By trying to achieve something? No. By believing. Sheer believing in God's work, you enter into his rest. Verse 4. For he spoke of a certain day, of a certain place of the seventh day. Of the seventh. On this wise, God indeed rests the seventh day from all his works. And this place again is the time to my rest. But look at verse, very importantly, verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, the word there is Joshua, not Jesus. The same word really, Jesus in the modern day, Joshua in the Hebrew. How many of you have Joshua in your own Bible? Alright, good. So if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So what he's saying is, they entered into Canaan, which was meant to be the land of promise. Then Joshua said, this is not the rest. There is still a rest. So Hebrew, the writer of Hebrew is saying, if Joshua gave them rest, then why did he speak of another day? Can we do verse 9 and verse 10 together, everybody? No, that's everybody. Everybody wants to go. There therefore remains a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So what is he saying? That how to enter into rest will be what? Not to rely on my works, but to believe in God. So the opposite of entering into rest will be to struggle on my own. And I give it to you this morning. God wants you to rest. God wants you to rest. So in the Sabbath, we see rest for the people of God. Don't forget, where is that in the Sabbath? They will multiply, they will replenish the earth. Right, we said that, Abby? Come on, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And we said, is that talking about childbearing? Even if that's good, right? But, you know, even people who are given to the devil, people who have sold their lives to the devil, the time say Illuminati, Illuminatinica, but they give birth too. So are you saying that they are fulfilling God's mandate of Genesis 1:28? Hallelujah. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth is not about childbearing. Don't forget, they were already bearing children before Moses wrote Genesis. That's why I said, the reason for Genesis is the Exodus. Aha. So, we said last week that Genesis 1:28 is the response to what? Hey, Kaka, you Kaka. Eh? To Genesis 1:2, right? Genesis 1:2, the earth was dark, empty. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Then verse 3, God said, let there be light. So we said, Genesis 1:28, to replenish the earth is the answer. How will God fill the earth? By His people. What will He do? He will take those who have the seed of God in them, and they will multiply themselves. Of course, that's talking about salvation, that's talking about redemption, that's talking about His church. So, we said, in the Sabbath, which is the rest of God, that is how God has designed for us to live. That is how God has designed for us to live. Not by works, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved, not of works, let any man should boast. Say we are saved by grace. Hey, come on. Say we are saved by grace. No, a lot of people do not understand this. Maybe because we have this performance culture. So we try to please God. It's good. Anybody that tells you not to please God is an antichrist. Amen? Aha. But somewhere in our hearts and in our minds, we think that God responds the way we respond to Him. Well, if I don't pray, then God will be angry. I remember as a teenager, I think I've said this story before. There was a time I was meant to go for choir practice, but the football was sweet that day. I don't even know what I mean. You know what I mean. You already said, I will just play ball from 11 to 1. Amen. Then I go and wash clothes. And by 3. Because I think my practice will start by 4. Right? 4. So, let me go and quickly. But that day, you know when you are a captain and your team is winning. I said, choir practice will wait till I was a teenager. So that's long ago. I said, choir practice will wait. I said, God, we understand. So while we are playing, I got injured. I said, God is dealing with me. Serious injury. I had to up of the house to help me plaster and everything. My dad must not see that one. So what happens is that when I get home, I remove the stuff and I have to walk normally. you have to walk normally through pain. So it's pain, but just and I was asking, you know, she not to me. Then I said, then apart from that one, when it was Monday, I became sick. So I said, God is dealing with me. You know, you have read a lot of Moses and how God can just, you understand? I said, Jesus, I'm in trouble. And that is the mentality a lot of Christians still carry till today. Oh, I will go to hell. This is what God is going to do to me. No. God designed man to enter into His rest. He'll do the work. You do the rest. Amen. You do the work. You believe. Those who have believed have entered into His rest. Even though the works were finished. The works were finished before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't outrun the rest of it. God has made us in a way that we ought to depend on Him. If you try to do God's will by sheer works and human energy, you will burn out. We've all been there. I have been there. You will burn out. Like, you will have no ounce of energy left. I'll be Joe then. Oh, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to pray. You see, this week I'm going to pray. Then you discover that you cannot pray. You know, when my Christian life changed was when I just surrendered. I also told Jesus, if you're going to use me now. Because I don't have this energy again. You know, and you begin to wonder, how do people keep up? I used to look at the likes of Pastor Kishore Kilome. I used to look at Andrew Womack. And how do these guys keep up? How do you keep up with... And here a pastor said, I was praying for 40 days. And there was one time. A pastor, I think it was in all this Middle East. It was in the Middle East. And he was saying that he was praying 16 hours every day for 40 days. 16 every day for 40 days. And when I heard, I just said, whoa, FIA, yeah. There's no point. Let me just go. You know this one that we are just trying to. Because I felt like I have to do it on my own. But what a lot of us don't realize is, God is not asking that from you. I think that God is not asking you to pray. Okay. Exactly. I've been looking at this past.
I've been looking at this part of our vigil rally. God is not asking me for more. We'll get there.
Amen. God is not demanding you to try and meet up. He says, the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. Not man to go and try and strive out how he will rest. No, the rest was made for man. Everyone that God has ever used did not have to depend on themselves. Everyone. Now there's this nice movie I just watched. I recommend it actually. It's a good one. It's about Pastor Adeboye. Very, very, very amazing biopic. You watch it. You see the grace of God. Hallelujah. God uses those who can trust Him. It's not those who just try to meet up. No. God uses those who will trust Him. The question is, will you? Instead of holding on. Instead of holding on and trying to, you know, hold on. You are going to drown. How many of you have been to, is it Red Cross now? Is it Red Cross? Did they tell you that how to rescue a drowning man? None of you. They didn't teach you in school. How to rescue a drowning man. What kind of schools did you guys go to? Think on us. And when they were teaching us, I was just thinking, I said, that means they go drown. I've drowned 3 times. So I don't bother swimming again. I just watch everybody I swim. I can't even swim in a cup of water. So there's no bother. There's no, if you like, if you want to take me to swimming pool, just don't worry. Save your money. I will not come. So they were teaching us how to save a drowning man. They took us to the water. Of course, I stayed far. Because I felt, if anything wants to happen, let me be close to safety. So they said, the first thing is to knock the man out. I've never heard that before. You don't know. When someone is down and they are doing, the first thing is to knock them. In fact, you want to make them unconscious. Because the more they struggle, you don't know, the more they struggle, the harder it is for you. As they are struggling, they go drown. Most of you are going. One of my drowning episodes, in one of the three, one happened in primary school. I said I was too young, that's why. We went to Nigerian Breweries. One of my dad's friends was working there, so. No, how stupid can I be? I went to the adult swimming pool at age 8. I'll be 9. I said, this is the children that are doing this one. I've not been in water before. I said, this was children, all these small, small children. You are 8. That's what I was saying in my head. So I went with where the adults were. Just, boom. I've won the Love Olympics and all of that. Boom. The next thing I just said is, YJ, stay with us. Who is staying with you? I just gave him a tuna. We are there. This is where they produce it. You know. So the second time, I said that was because I was young. So my friends tricked me, USS 3. He said, there's this amazing river. So we went there. He had been to UMC before, UMC Okado. So that was where it happened. I drowned again. And my friend was saying, we will knock her out. I said, we will knock who out? Who did you knock out? I said, you now. Swim flow. That's your joy. You know, because that's the first thing you have to do. He said, when he wanted to drag me in, I said, hey. Because he's struggling. And if you're going to be rescued, you are not the one that will be holding on. You are the one struggling. So what you should do is to be held. Hallelujah. You stop holding on. Start being held. And that's where we have the misconception most times. Why people are not enjoying God's rest. Because they are trying to hold on their own. They are trying to achieve everything. They are not resting. Prayer and fasting is not a show that we are serving God to the world. No! It's not a proof to anybody. No! It's our proof of our trust in God. It's the proof of rest. It's not a proof of, let people see that I'm pardoned. Let people see that God is walking through me. No, not at all. I have never done those things to approve anything. I have never. Oftentimes, my long hours of study, long hours of prayer is because of that rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got no point to prove at all. At all. God is the one doing the work. I am in His rest. And I'm going to experience it all my life. Hallelujah. So, live in that rest. God's plan is to rest on the earth through you, through me. So, the Sabbath remains that holy vocation where we stay in God's work. Like the writer of Hebrews said, the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Moses brings it up. He says, remember the Sabbath. If only we bring this to our memory every time. Things are not working. Things are not appearing the way you planned them to be. Things are not appearing the way you wanted them to. You planned them, you proposed them to be. The things you thought you'd be doing by now, you're not doing. The things you thought you would not be doing, you're doing. Remember the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Oh, by now I thought I would have gotten over this. By now I thought I would be able to be doing this one with ease. Calm. Calmer. Calmer. Remember the Sabbath. Hallelujah. What an instruction. And that is the only one Paul says. I said, Paul, That's the only one Moses says, keep it holy. Keep it separate. Remember the Sabbath. That's the one with hiding. Remember the Sabbath. You said it like one with sleeping. Are you? Say, remember the Sabbath. Sis. Brov. You know brov? Say brov. Remember the Sabbath. Brov. Don't say six. Six. Bro, remember the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Remember that God created you to rest. To experience His rest. Oftentimes, listen very well. You have to let go of the past. You have to let go of the past. And there are fewer tools that the devil uses against us than the past. There are fewer tools. He brings it up every time. And those who walk with God have mastered a skill. Like Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing forward. Hallelujah. You have to forget the past. You have to let go of the past. You are not going to enjoy God's rest as much as you still bring back those memories. You still bring back those,
I wrote it, I said, bring every sin, every disappointment, every betrayal, every rejection, bring it to Jesus.
Bring every disappointment, bring it to Jesus. Remember the story of the Sabbath in Matthew 12 that Jesus gave. We found healing in the Sabbath. Healing in the Sabbath. Healing in the Sabbath. Bring every rejection. Bring every betrayal. Every disappointment. I know you have loads of them. Bring them to Jesus and enjoy His rest. It is for you. We are going to have healthy Christian living. We are going to fulfill God's will for our lives more if we choose to just rest in His work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let the enemy harass you. Press forward. Press forward. To enjoy His rest, you will not dwell on difficulties and troubles. Instead of striving, choose to be still. Say, I'm still. Come on. Say, I'm still. But if there's something you take home today, God is inviting us to surrender. He's inviting us to quiet our hearts and quiet our souls. The truth is you are in a world where you are going to face different things. And the devil too is not quiet. He's not giving up. He's going to bring things up. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to like Jesus told Peter, to sift you like wheat. But quieting your heart. Is that clear? Is that clear? Few years of pastoring now, just few days, and one of the things I tell people a lot is quieting your hearts. Amen. The devil brings a lot of things up. Calm, 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 calm. Peace be still. In the name of Jesus, quieting your heart, quieting your heart, quieting your heart, quieting your heart. Rest your soul, rest your soul. Amen. The rest is for you. The rest is for you. And I believe from today you will enjoy God's rest. It will be a part of your life. You look all around and you will see rest. You will see peace. In the name of Jesus. No, Isaiah 26. You turn there. In verse 3. One of my favorite portions of the scriptures. I start in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation with God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you gates. That the righteous nation, which keep the truth, may enter in. Can we read verse 3 together? And you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you.
Say, I'm in perfect peace. I'm in perfect peace. I'm in perfect peace. My mind is stayed on God.
You are going to enjoy life more. Amen. You're going to enjoy your walk with God more if you would have rest. Better put, if you would enjoy His rest. We struggle too much.
You are overbeating it.
I had to tell someone, last week, one of my friends said, calm, you're doing fine. And oftentimes when I tell people they're doing fine, they don't know. They don't know, actually, I mean you're doing fine. If you're not, I'm the first person to tell you you're not doing fine. Amen. And I can really, really, really tell you that one. But if I tell you are doing fine, but oftentimes people compare their own beginning of the journey to someone's end. You know, you're comparing, God is just starting with you. You don't know even started. I was telling my friend yesterday night. I said, I believe God has not started with me at all. Right? What's talking about? So whatever you're seeing now is preamble. We have not started at all. And I believe that. Amen. So imagine you now comparing yourself to someone who is already almost at the end of their own journey.
And I say,
we're talking about, they need a biopic for Baba Adeboye. And I'm like, you observe that campus fellowship pastors now, we start the drama. Life of our pastor.
What have you done?
You have not done anything. They are doing your biopic. What do they want to put there? What would they put there? How you collected coolers from sister? Calm down. The journey is far. So don't compare yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy. It steals joy. It stabs it away from you. So you look at this person. Say, I love the way this person serves God. I want to do it like that in my life. No. That's not God's plan for you. What I say? That is not God's plan for you. God told Jacob. He said, Benjamin is different from Joseph. They're different people. Different nations. Amen. Don't compare yourself. It's a devil's tool. I didn't say, don't look up and say, oh, I want to be like this. I didn't say don't stop aspiring. I know that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying when you see a good example, don't say I want to follow. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't compare yourself. Don't compare yourself to me. Don't compare yourself to faith. Don't compare yourself to joy. Don't compare yourself to hope. Don't compare yourself to, don't compare yourself to Samuel. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Don't look down and say, this person, I'm even doing better. Don't do that. The journey is personal. The journey of faith, it is personal. What did I say? It is what? It's very, very personal. That's Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You learned something this morning. We're going to read verse 9 and 10 together. Thank you, Jesus. Want to go? He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You believe that? You believe that? That be still and know that I am God. I wrote a version here. NASB. It says, stop striving and know that I am God. The same word that Moses told them when they got out of Egypt. Be still. I am God. God wants you to be still. Hallelujah. Pastoring, there are times where the road gets tough. Like, really, really tough. You're not going to know. You probably don't even have an idea of what's going on. One of the things that keep your feet steady. Calm. Amen. The works are finished from the foundations of the world. The Sabbath is for me. Those are things that I just, like Moses said, I remember the Sabbath. So, rest is a gift from God to us. And today, it's a decision we must choose to make. See, brethren, we can choose to experience God's rest. We can let go of emotional pain, emotional sorrow, and worry over what is or what is not. Oftentimes, those are the things that take away the flavor from our walk with God. Oh, what can be, what is not, what am I doing, what am I not doing? Calm down. Calm down. Is that clear? Was it, there was a teaching like that when I told you, you say, oh my soul, calm down. Hallelujah. Oh my soul, calm thee. Calm thee you. You don't talk in KJV. Calm down. There is rest for your soul. You believe that? No, Jesus told them in Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, come to me all you that labor, all you that strive, and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. I believe that for myself. I mean his rest. You know, you are going to do more if you're resting. If you just choose to actually let God walk through you, you are going to do times 50 of what you're doing now with ease. But you know where the problem is? A lot of time we want to strive, we want to quickly reach. No! The Sabbath was made for man. You first enter into his rest, then see what he can do through you. Look at everyone God is using. There is none of them that was striving for it. Abraham, God called him out of his land. And you're wondering, what's happening? Then suddenly, he's a prophet of the nation. Suddenly, God multiplied him. God gave him the promise. That's how God works. You don't start to, no, you just calm. And I don't know why God is bringing this teaching to us at this time of the year, but he wants you to rest. Psalm 116. We'll read from verse 5 to verse 7, everybody. Are you ready? We read from verse 5 to verse 7. Look at your Bible. One to go. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yes. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Amen. Relax and rest, O my soul. How about that one? You know, how many of you know the importance of rest to the physical body? Rest. Those guys, especially, you have your final exam. If you cannot know that one, there's no need to write it. Just tell them that you quit. Rest. A day like that, I wanted to preach somewhere. And my eyes were turning. Not turning that, I'm not pregnant. So it's not turning like I'm pregnant. And I'm not hungry. It's not hunger. And I sense it in my spirit that if I go to preach, I will die. You know when you're like inward witness that is loud? Meanwhile, it's normally silent. This inward witness was loud. I knew it that if I stood for 5 minutes, I just told the person, I said, can someone else teach today? I will teach you. So, we already planned. Can someone else teach today? So, okay, sir. Okay, let me go and rest. Amen. It's too important. Recently, I had to go for a checkup. And when the doctor saw my stress level, he said, you're not going anywhere, Pastor. You're not going anywhere. He wanted to give me bed rest. I look at him and I said, I'll rest. And I rested. Amen. Brother is not serious. I rested. Not, maybe the other way. The way the rest day wants me to rest, I don't know. It's almost like dead. It's almost like, don't do anything. Just lie there. Top chicken drink. You know, that I don't know how to do that kind of thing. I must walk. You know. But rest is too important for your physical body. You know, we thought that preserving your body for the Lord's use. You go listen to that too. Rest is too important. Some people think they are machines. I've seen pastors slump on white preaching before. Amen. It's not a good sight. Rest. And as a pastor, you know that. Because when you are just teaching, you have energy. No matter how sick you are, the moment you carry Bible, and you say Matthew 1:1. There was a time I taught here with serious malaria. You will not know. I'll still teach you well. But at that time, there was no malaria. I was thinking, healing has happened. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I was just thinking, after I was done like this, yay! And I got to that place. So what now happened? It is anointing. Amen. Unfortunately, you still have to rest. If rest does that much to our body, the rest God provides does the same to our spirit. If you don't learn to enter into his rest, of course, by salvation, you're already in the rest of God. But Moses says, remember the rest. Let it always be part of your life. Remember the Sabbath. So the same way rest is important for our physical health, it does as much for our spirits.
Amen.
Don't try to prove anything to anyone. It's a journey of faith. And I said it is what?
It's personal.
It is very personal. Growing up, I started with a few friends who are all together. And a lot of us are still doing ministry. A number of us. Pastoring, parts of different parts of the world. But our journeys are different. And I remember we had one Holy Ghost meeting, 2009. And what one of the things God told us there is that your journeys are different, but we must all back one another. Amen. I have a friend who is in missions, in Kaduna. I have one who is pastoring in the United States, even though he didn't want to go, but God forced him out. He didn't want to go. This one is not there. I don't want to go. I don't want to go, no Lord. Like, brother, I'm like, oh no Lord, oh God. No, this one has to be forced by the church. It was the church, not the one that said, I saw God sending me. The church was the one that said, God sent you. Amen. And he didn't want to go, of course. A number of them like that, we have one in Lauren, doing very well. I'll be preaching for him later in the year. The journey is different, but we are all in his rest. And the times where we get to talk, I just remind everyone, calm. Amen. Because the truth is, you might want to get ahead of yourself. When we get on TV, when we do this, God, I feel God is calling us. Even when God gives us instructions, we push, but we don't struggle. Hallelujah. Morgan said, sometimes struggle is a proof that you're doing what's bigger than you. I'm not saying every time. Morgan said, sometimes, struggling is a proof that you're doing what's bigger than you. Calm. Tell someone beside you, calm.
Hallelujah.
Don't prove anything to anyone. Don't worry over anything. Allow him do the work and remind yourself that the Sabbath is for you. The work is done. The work is complete. It's accomplished. It's enough to take you through this journey. What God has done is enough to take you through this journey. But you must trust in it. You must walk in it. And we're going to have a different kind of service this morning. I believe God wants to talk to us. Amen. We're going to have the prophetic among ourselves to comfort, to encourage, and to calm. Amen. Faith is submission. Faith is submission. Don't burn out. Rather, people say,
there remains a rest for the people of God. There's rest for me. Yeah, oh God. There's rest for me. See, we were created to rest. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. You understand me? Verse 13. 6 days you shall labor and do all the work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you will not do any work. Nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your ass, your cattle, no stranger within your gates, your manservant, everyone will rest as you are resting. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt. And that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and a stretched out hand. Therefore the Lord your God command you to keep the Sabbath. Amen. So the Sabbath is a proof that we have left Egypt. It's a proof that we have left that struggle. It's a proof that, see, we are in God's plan. And I will surrender for him to use me as he will. When he wants. How he wants. That is rest. The reason why we have a lot of people who were serving God before but no longer serving God is because they did not choose rest. And when the waters are troubled, what you must remember is the Sabbath. Remember that you were made to trust in him. Amen. In Exodus 33, I'll just read some quick scriptures. Verse 14. Now therefore I pray you, if I find grace in your sight, show me your way and verse 13 now, and I may know you and I may find grace in your sight and consider this beautiful nation. And God told Moses and he said in verse 14, Exodus 33, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. I have rest. So, the proof of God's presence Exodus 3:14. The proof of God's presence is rest. The Sabbath was made for man. And God is calling us out this morning. And he's saying, remember the Sabbath. How simple is that instruction? Remember the Sabbath. In 1 Kings 8. Before we go to Isaiah. 1 Kings. Are you there? Chapter 8. Verse 55. And he stood and he blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, verse 56 now, blessed be the Lord, for he has given rest unto his people Israel, according as he has promised. He has not failed one word of his all his good promise, which he has promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God's promise for us is rest. Rest. Ezekiel, okay, I said Isaiah, baby. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give you rest from sorrow. Amen? 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 Shall come to pass in the day the Lord shall give you rest from your sorrow, and from your fear, and from your hard bondage, wherein you have been made to serve. There's rest from sorrow. There's rest from fear. In the name of Jesus. The Sabbath overwhelms you. In the name of Jesus, you will find rest on all sides. Like Solomon said, he said, David, my father, fought wars all his life. He said, but God has surrounded me with rest. That will be your testimony. There's rest on all sides for me. I don't struggle. I don't struggle. I don't strive. The Lord will give me rest. I will enjoy his rest as I walk with him. In this journey of faith, I might not be able to see the future, but I know there's rest for me. There's rest for me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there's rest for me on all sides, on all grounds. There's rest for me. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel 34. God speaks to Ezekiel about, of course, the shepherds. In verse 15 said, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to rest. Hey, thank you, Jesus. I will cause them to rest, says the Lord. I will cause them to rest. We are his flock. We are his people. He says, I will cause them to rest. There's rest for me. You know, sometimes we are bothered as you live. Listen very well. Day to day. Serving the Lord. I know you want to serve the Lord with your heart. I know you have standards. You have things that you want to meet up with. You have people you look at and you say, yeah, this is good. This is what I want to be like. For rest. Rest doesn't mean, no, that's not what I'm saying. Rest will mean trust in God. And when the things you want to achieve appears like they are not coming, remember the Sabbath. Remember that he is the one at work in you. To will and to do his own pleasure. He's that one at work. That's what Paul told the Philippians. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but remember that it is God that is at work in you. So you have to enter into his rest. It is made for man. There's those who have believed have entered into his rest, but we must remember the Sabbath. We must remember the Sabbath. When the going gets tough, remember the Sabbath. When it appears like you have hit a dead end, remember the Sabbath. When it appears like your strength cannot take you again, remember his rest. It's a journey of faith and it's a long one. Remember the rest. Even in the natural, I told you last week that everything you see in salvation, God puts it in our natural lives. I explained that with the leading of the Spirit. I said, salvation is the leading of the Spirit. He has led us from the flesh to the Spirit. He has led us from darkness to light. Salvation is the leading of the Spirit. But you see, even though he has led us in salvation, we still have the leadings of the Spirit every day. Because the way he saves us is the way we walk with him. Right? As therefore as you have received Christ, so walk in him. The same way he saves us is the same way we walk with him. And if rest is the way he saved us, if salvation is rest, then God wants us to have rest. A lot of people are too worried. A lot of people are too burdened. They don't even know what's going on. We are in an age and time where people are just worried. What if I don't get this cash? What if I'm not able to pay this one? What if I'm not able to get married? What if I'm not able to get this job? What if I'm not able to... What if? And you paint scenarios in your head. and you pay 5 years in your head, 5 years from now, you don't know the future. You say, what if it's too late? You can't tell whether it's late or early. I told you that on Thursday. Because time is not in your hands, you cannot say it is late. You cannot say it is early. I don't control time. Amen. I just trust God in what He has for me. And He's my Father. I don't know how that sounds to you, but He's my own Father. That's how I live my life. I don't give a damn whether something is early or late. I don't care. Hallelujah. I've just learned to rest. To trust. Reckless faith. Stepping on the waters. Because He said I should come. I love the way Solomon said it. He said, my father was surrounded with walls and fights and enemies. But me, I'm surrounded with rest. Thank you, Jesus. His rest is for me. That's why Paul would tell the Philippians, he said, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. Let nothing unsettle you. Let nothing unsettle you. The issue with a lot of believers is that we just hear these things and we don't give our minds to them. We just hear them and, I was in church today. Because if I not come to church, then it's not saying that someone not come to church. And God keeps talking to you. God keeps talking to you. Things that can turn your life around. Things that can change your life. But you're not listening. You're not listening. But you're listening. You have hearing ears. And your heart can discern what God wants. Align yourself with God. Let His rest be soaked in His rest. And you see the kind of peace you have. In your walk with Him and even in the natural. I remember I was talking to my dad. Just last week. And we were talking about something and he said, I know you will not be bothered. I know you don't care. You will not be bothered. I said, I care. But I'm just not bothered. There are two different things. He said, I know you care, but you are not bothered. He said, because nothing can... Have I ever been stranded? He said, no. I said, have I ever been in need of a miracle and I did not get one? He said, no. I said, God is still alive. How will we do it? Amam, will He do it? Sure, banker. Hallelujah. I don't know anything, but I'll rest in Him. I'm a baby. Hallelujah. I'm a baby. Just rest. I'll rest. Throughout the year and all my life, I will remember the Sabbath and that it was made for me. You know, the devil will throw a lot of things at you. He will bring a lot of thoughts. Ifs and maybes. Buts. Because. But remember the Sabbath. Remember the rest. Remember that you have the Almighty God and He's on your side. Amen. You have the Almighty God. God's rest is for me. I walk in it all my life. I walk in it all my life. I walk in it all my life. Sisters, brothers, let us live in total surrender. Total surrender. Total surrender. Total surrender. Everybody that God has ever walked with, their hands were like this. Surrendered to be held. Surrendered to be carried. Arms open wide for the Lord of hosts. It's not the time to start seeing what you can fix on your own. It's time to surrender. As you walk with Him. You know, sometimes you see everybody doing one thing in the church and then you're concerned that it's as though my abilities cannot carry this. As though I'm struggling. Calm and rest. Amen? Quieting your soul. And remember, God is for you. Amen. You can afford to live like an unbeliever. Like Paul says, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Who has no God? I have a God. And He's the Almighty One. Amen. So, I am not helpless. I'm not helpless. I'm not bothered. Pastor just saying easily. I am not. Let the heavens fall today. I'll be where I am. Unshaken. Hallelujah. There's nothing. In nothing wavering. In nothing. In nothing wavering. Why? God is for me. And He has surrounded me with His rest. I want you to, in your heart now, just say a word of prayer. You surround me with many victors. Jehovah Nisi, you're my banner. You go before me, you fight my battles. Jehovah Nisi. Quietness and rest in the name of Jesus. Quietness and rest. Supernatural order by the Spirit of God. And where our souls appear to have been troubled, His rest is for us. Loruko Jesu. Loruko Jesu. Isimi. Isimi. Your life is full of goodness. Your ministry is full of help and supernatural order. 5 minutes more. Quieten your rest. Quieten your soul. Quieten your soul and let God talk to you. The voice of God is the voice of man. He wants to talk to you.